Our hymn today is So Send I You, and I'm going to ask our ushers to come at this time and pass these out to everyone. If I could have a couple men, should put you on notice there, but just give everyone one of these, and we'll get to this here in just a minute. In the meantime, we can turn in our Bibles to John chapter 20, John chapter number 20, and we're going to look at a hymn called So Send I You, written by Margaret Clarkson. Welcome to Sunday School today. If you're new, we're studying hymnology for a little bit longer. And each week I'm trying to take a hymn that has a different theme to it and singing the hymn as we just did, and then looking at the history of the hymn, and then trying to make some spiritual applications to ourselves. This is based on John chapter 20 and verse number 21. It says, Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And that was the verse that influenced Margaret Clarkson to write the hymn that we're studying this morning in Sunday school. So, Send I You. It's not a hymn that's sung very much, and it's actually a hymn that Margaret Clarkson didn't want sung at all. I'll show you why here in a minute from her own words. But what we're doing is we're studying hymnology, and then I have different books on hymn histories, and I like to read hymn histories about these. In the Blue Book, page 97, you'll see the song So Send I You that we just sang together. And here's a book entitled Songs in the Night by Henry Garapi, and this is a little bit of his history of this hymn from his book. It says, Margaret Clarkson, now you'll notice at the top left, if you still got your hymn book open, is her name. It says E, Margaret Clarkson. I don't know what the E stands for. That means she wrote the words, or in other words, she wrote the poem. And then on the top right, it says John W. Peterson. He wrote the music. All right. Margaret Clarkson, born in 1915, is known for her hymns and her 16 books. Among them, Grace Grows Best in Winter. At the age of 22, she was isolated in a gold mining camp in northern Canada, far from family and friends. She experienced a deep loneliness, mental, cultural, and spiritual. She records, Studying the Word one night and thinking of the loneliness of my situation, I came to John chapter 20 and verse 21, and the words, So send I you. Because of a physical disability, I could never go to the mission field. But God seemed to tell me that night that this was my mission field and that this was where He had sent me. She quickly set down her thoughts in a poem that was to become one of the most popular hymns on Christian service, So Send I You. This great hymn, born in a setting of loneliness and despair due to physical handicap, eloquently affirms that God has a work for each of us, whatever our circumstances. The late General Frederick Couts, international leader of the Salvation Army, called for, quote, men and women who are willing to pay the price of caring, end quote. Let your life shine for Christ wherever you may be, or wherever He may lead you. So that's the story out of Songs in the Night. Now, I got another book here that tells a different side to the story, one that was not contained in the record I just read. This one is called 101 Hymn Histories by Kenneth Osbeck. I like these books. They have really helped me understand the depths of some of these hymns a lot more. But he brings something out in this history that wasn't in the last book I just read. Some of what he says is the same. He says, the text of So Send I You, sometimes called the finest missionary hymn of the 20th century, was written by a young Canadian, then just 22, born in Saskatchewan. Margaret Clarkson grew up from age 5 in Toronto, graduating as a teacher in 1935. Jobs were so scarce that she had to spend 7 years in the far north of Ontario, first in a lumber camp, then in a gold mining area, before returning to teach for her remaining 31 years in Toronto, retiring in 1973. For over 50 years, she has been known for her poems and articles in Christian periodicals, and for her many hymns and her books, which now number 16. Among the books she wrote are Susie's Babies, All Nature Sings, and two books on suffering, which have proved helpful to many, Destined for Glory and Grace Grows Best in Winter, all published by Erdmans. On the writing of this text, this hymn, Miss Clarkson has written this, and here's her own account. In the north, I experienced deep loneliness of every kind, mental, cultural, and particularly spiritual. I found no Bible-teaching church fellowship, and only one or two isolated Christians in all of those years. Studying the Word one night and thinking of the loneliness of my situation, I came to John 20 and the words, "So send I you." Because of a physical disability, I could never go to the mission field. But God seemed to tell me that night that this was my mission field and this was where He had sent me. I had written verse all my life, so it was natural for me to express my thoughts in a poem. And so that's the poem we just sang earlier. But now note this paragraph. Some years later, I realized that the poem was really very one-sided. It told only of the sorrows and privations of the missionary call and none of its triumphs. I wrote another song in the same rhythm, so that verses could be used interchangeably, setting forth the glory and the hope of the missionary calling. This was published in 1963. It is interesting that many of the newer hymnals are now dropping my first version in favor of my second. I rejoice at this, for above all, I wish it to be a biblical writer. And the second hymn is more biblical than the first one. And those are the words that I've given you that we'll go over here in a minute. We've never sung those words in our church. But she says, I like that song better than the one we always sing here. Now let me just get to the music for a little bit because it brings up John W. Peterson. And if you're going to study hymnology, you can't study it for very long but that you come across his name. He's the one that wrote the music, and he's also not only wrote music for hymns, but also words for different hymns. The music for So Send I You was composed especially for Margaret Clarkson's hymn by John W. Peterson, often called the Dean of Gospel Songwriters. The impact and contributions to church music of John Peterson's fruitful ministry since World War II are generally well known to most Christians. He has composed more than 1,200 gospel songs, hymns, and choruses, as well as supplying church choirs with more than 20 cantatas and musicals, which have thrilled and inspired Christians with various themes from the gospel message. By the way, the theme for our hymn today is Missions in the Great Commission. John Peterson also co-authored the hymn Surely Goodness and Mercy. In fact, if you'll just start thumbing through your hymn book, I'm sure you'll come across John Peterson's name from time to time. He was born in Lindsborg, Kansas in 1921, spent his early days in Salina, Kansas. In 1939, he began a radio evangelistic work with his two brothers, and at that time began writing his first gospel songs. 1942, Mr. Peterson entered military service and served as a pilot in the Chinese Burma Theater. Commenting about this period of his life, he says, "I had many precious spiritual experiences during those days, and many of my songs now in print had their beginnings somewhere in India or Burma or high above the Himalayan mountains." After his military service, Mr. Peterson matriculated and was graduated from the Moody Bible Institute, later continuing his musical training at the American Conservatory of Music, completing a major in music theory in 1950. John Peterson has since been awarded an honorary doctor's degree from Western Conservative Baptist Seminary and also from Brown University in recognition of his musical contributions to the gospel ministry. His family presently resides in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm not even sure if he's alive anymore. This book's a little bit old. In his book, called The Miracle Goes On, Mr. Peterson often mentions his conviction about the power of a gospel song to change a person's life. He cites the following example about today's hymn. Quote, "So Send I You was used by God in the life of an actress who had come to know Christ and who faced an agonizing decision. Should she maintain her professional contacts or give up her career and dedicate her life completely to the Lord for service, wherever He might lead? In the midst of her dilemma, she sat listening to a recording of this song, So Send I You, by Margaret Clarkson. And its challenge came through with stunning impact. The actress fell to her knees and made a total commitment of her life to Christ, and in due time, He resolved the question of her vocation. And she went into missionary service because of the power of this song." All right. So our song today is So Send I You. And we see that the writer herself was not happy with the first song that she wrote. She considered it depressing and that it might actually discourage some people from missionary service. So she wrote a second one. We'll get to the words in a bit, of victorious service and how great it is to be a missionary. Maybe we too should sing that in our church to maybe encourage some others. All right, let's look at John 20. Here's the verse that she said inspired her. She's up in the northern part of Canada, and this kind of reminds us of our recent missions conference. And Dr. Gary Forney, who was with us, he told me not to call him doctor while he was here, so I did. But he's Dr. Gary Forney. He has a missions board called Points North Missions, and he's trying to go up to the Arctic Circle, and he wants to get 30 families up there to help him. So far he's got 14. He's looking for more families called to go to the northern parts around the Arctic, around the world, and reach those souls with the gospel. It takes all kinds, doesn't it, to do God's work, and we thank the Lord for Dr. Forney. Well, this dear Canadian, Margaret Clarkson, had to go up there just to get a job of some sort, and there was no church in here. Can you imagine that, 7 years not being able to go to church? Boy, I don't know, it should bother you if we can't go to church after 7 days. Fellowship is a very important thing. Can you imagine living for 7 years in the north parts, not having any church? And she said during that time she only crossed paths with one or two other Christians. Imagine that. And all this experience, the Lord said, well, I just want you to be a light for me where you are. And it kind of gave her a glimpse into what it must be like to be a missionary. And so she wrote this song on missions, which has had a great influence on many people, to count the cost to be a missionary. It says in John 20 and verse 21, the verse she read that inspired her, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." So send I you. Now the word as my Father has sent me, literally means the same way. The same way that my Father has sent me, so send I you. And when we think of Jesus, His Father sent Him and told Him to leave His house in heaven and go to somebody else's house down here on earth and share with them the gospel, and that some would believe and that some would not. Jesus went unto His own, it says in John 1 and verse 11, and His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So some will receive our message, some will reject it. But Jesus said, "This as the Father has sent me, or in the same way that the Father has sent me," then we need to take that literally, to leave our homes and to go to other people's homes with the gospel message, just like Jesus did, knowing that some will reject us, but some will also receive us. Some will reject Christ, but some will receive Christ. Now look at John chapter 17. This is the Lord's Prayer. All right? If you have a red letter edition, you'll notice the whole chapter is almost in red letters. This is the Lord's Prayer. This is the Lord praying. This is his high intercessory priestly prayer for those after him. Now, the prayer that we hear all the time, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," that's our prayer. The Lord said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven." And it gives us a model, an outline of what real prayer is about. It's a good model to study. But this is the Lord's Prayer. This is when the Lord really prayed. And I want you to notice something he prayed beginning at verse 18. John 17, verse 18. "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." Okay, so the Bible says Jesus came, the Father sent the Son into the world, so send I you. And then he says the same thing to us. And now he's praying to the Father, and he's saying, "Just like you sent me, so have I sent them into the world." Every one of us needs to realize that that is our commission, to go into the world with the gospel. And I appreciate those of you that do go out on visitation. And though it's a small group, we have a group of men that come here every Saturday. They were here yesterday in the cold and the rain, and they went out and had a great time in the Lord, and men like John Updegrove comes all the way from Perry, New York every Saturday morning. That's the kind of stuff that blesses my heart, just to see those that are faithfully going out. They won't miss for anything. They go, and they go, and they go. Others went up to Niagara Falls. What a wonderful time they had Friday. And from what I understand, they crossed paths with 7 different people in the course of being up there who accepted the Lord as their Savior. I'm going to have some of them testify tonight of some wonderful experiences, miraculous experiences that they had. Now, why does that all come about? Look at verse 19. "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." Now, verse 20 is something I want to show you to give you some confidence. "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Now there is a great promise right there in verse 20. Jesus has already prayed for our success in soul winning, in witnessing. He has already prayed. He says, "I'm not just praying for these alone. I'm not just praying for my apostles and these are... but for them which shall believe on me," notice, "through their word." There is the success that if any one of us will share the word of God, eventually, because of the prayers of Jesus, someone will believe on Christ because of your word. He's already prayed for you to be a success at soul winning. And I have found that to be true. I know a man in our church who 2 years ago had never led anyone to Christ. I know 2 men like that. Never led anyone to Christ. And I said to them, I said, "If you'll just keep going and keep going and keep going, eventually you will cross paths with somebody who will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ through your word." And it was verse 20 that gave me the confidence to give them that counsel. And now they win souls all the time. 2 years ago, they never won a soul to Christ in their life. But they decided, "I'm going out. I'm going to do this." And now they go out on visitation. Every Saturday, these 2 men are here. They go to the fairs and the festivals. And one of these men was up at Niagara Falls Friday night. He led 7 people to Christ Friday night. 2 Hindus, 1 Gothic girl who actually left the group of other Gothic kids she was hanging around with and started following them around, passing out tracts. That's kind of a good indication someone got saved. when they want to go around and pass out tracts with you. And the others were telling her, don't do it, don't listen to him, and so on, and she did. That's a work of God. But see, he went. This doesn't happen by staying home and praying. This happens by going out and making yourself available and saying, Lord, here am I, use me. I don't know who I'm going to talk to today. I don't know who I'm going to run into. But use me, Lord. And we have this promise. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. We had a prisoner saved in the prison revival. And we thank God for that. And came forward at the invitation, accepted Jesus as his Savior. People will believe through your word. The Lord's already promised. He's already prayed. So you can have confidence. Now, I know a lot of people are going to reject you and so on, but eventually you will lead people to Christ. You will. And so that's what this song is, So Send I You. But getting back to the other theme of not only the Great Commission, this also has a theme of missions. And, you know, she was honest. I think she was a little bit hard on herself, a little bit critical maybe when she said she didn't really like the song because she felt it would just discourage people from going to the mission field. But maybe it will help people to realize that when they go, for instance, to a foreign mission field, that there are great costs. And I think she spelled them out pretty good here in the first five verses. Look at verse 1. So send I you to labor unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown. To bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing, so send I you to toil for me alone. Well, I can see maybe, you know, that there's areas we could disagree with some of the things that she said here, and she was a little bit hard here in verse number 1 because, you know, there is rewards, and she gets to those in her second song. Let's just read this the way she wrote it. Verse 2. So send I you to bind the bruised and broken, or wandering souls to work, to weep, to wake, to bear the burdens of a world aweary. So send I you to suffer for my sake. So in verse 1, she does tell, especially the foreign missionary, that it is lonely serving Christ sometimes. The pay might be bad, and there won't be a whole lot of people lining up to love you and to help you, and you're going to bear rebuke and scorn. In verse 2, she brings out that in missions work, you have to help the hurting, you have to win souls, and you have to bear burdens. I think missionaries are like the Marine Corps of God's army. I'll tell you what, I don't think I could do what they do. Going to foreign mission fields with absolutely no support whatsoever, no church down the road, no pastor to call, and you're just out there with people like that. These are heroes. Verse 3, so send I you to loneliness and longing, with hearts a-hungering for the loved and known, you folks back home, forsaking home and kindred, friend and dear ones, so send I you to know my love alone. Imagine leaving your home and kindred, often being lonely, no church to fellowship with, no great piano players to, you know, stir your spirit or music, none of that, no home, no Christmas celebrations with the family, no Easter, no Thanksgiving dinners at the church, none of that. Imagine that, a life of none of that. Sometimes I don't think we value the local church as much as we should. So send I you, verse 4, to leave your life's ambitions, to die to dear desire, self will resign, to labor long and love where men revile you. So send I you to lose your life in mine. There was a man named Bobby Bonner who played baseball up here in Rochester for the, I think it's the Rochester Yellow Jackets, the farm team for the Baltimore Orioles. Back in the 70s, he was doing tremendous as a baseball player. He got saved through one of the local churches in Rochester, and he was doing tremendous as a semi-professional baseball player, whatever they call him, and then the Baltimore Orioles called him up. and offered him back in the 70s a multi-million dollar contract to play for them. But at the same time, God was speaking to him about missions. And it was at the same time that he was given that offer from the Baltimore Orioles that God said, I want you to be a missionary. What a decision he had to make. And he made a decision to be a missionary. And he's been in Africa since the 1970s and has started over 100 churches. You think he'll regret that in heaven? No. See, verse 4, so send I you to leave your life's ambitions, to die to dear desire, self will resign. To labor long in love where men revile, so send I you to lose your life and mine. And he gives his testimony. He says, I don't feel I sacrificed anything. He says, I feel I've gained. I've been blessed. So send I you to hearts made hard by hatred. There's people we've had, we've got the Nortons over in Kyrgyzstan living amongst the Muslim people. Some of them are fanatical and their hearts are hard by hatred and submission. To eyes made blind because they will not see, to spend, though it be blood, to spend and spare not. So send I you to taste of Calvary. Jim Elliot gave his blood as a missionary going to the Aka Indians. He was called a fool before he went. But he made the famous statement, he is no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. And he died, his partner died, but they sowed the seed of the gospel in that area. And then their wives went back after they died and began to reach the Indian people for Christ. And those that murdered their husbands, they led to Christ. So send I you to hearts made hard by hatred. Now after she wrote that, as we read in the history earlier, she became quite dissatisfied with it. And so she wrote another hymn in 1963. And this hasn't made it into our psalm books, but by her own testimony, she'd rather have us sing this version of the song rather than the one we have in our hymn book. And all I have time now to do, basically, is to read these, but look at them. And this is the second song that she wrote, So Send I You, Margaret Clarkson. Verse 1, So send I you, by grace made strong to triumph, or hosts of hell, or darkness, death, and sin. My name to bear, and in that name to conquer. So send I you my victory to win. Notice how she's getting positive here. She wanted to encourage those thinking about the missions fields that they were going to get the victory. So we see verse 1, it talks about victory. Verse 2. So send I you to take to souls in bondage the word of truth that sets the captive free, to break the bonds of sin, to loose death's fetters. So send I you to bring the lost to me. So this second verse, she emphasizes the winning of the lost. I have kept my eye on this close, and I believe I'm accurate to say this, that there has never been a missionary who has gone anywhere, but that they didn't reach someone with the gospel. I know some of them only lasted one term, and I thank God they went. I don't criticize them for coming back after one term. That's more than I've ever done. But I have never heard of a missionary that went somewhere that didn't reach somebody. I never heard of a missionary come back and say nothing happened. They've all led people to Christ. No matter where they went. You can't send the gospel to the wrong place. It's not possible to send the gospel to the wrong place. It's always the right place wherever the gospel goes. Verse 3. So send I you my strength to know in weakness, my joy in grief, my perfect peace in pain, to prove my power, my grace, my promised presence. So send I you eternal fruit to gain. Whereas the first song, she seemed to almost portray the missionaries being all alone out there, but here she talks about how Christ is with you. The presence of Jesus Christ is with the missionary, wherever he goes, eternal fruit to gain. Verse 4. So send I you in sorrow, yet rejoicing, as poor in store, yet boundless wealth I give. As having naught and yet possessing all things, so send I you the life of heaven to live. Living for the eternal, living for heaven's sake. In verse number 4, now verse 5. So send I you to bear my cross with patience, and then one day with joy to lay it down. To hear my voice, well done, my faithful servant. Come, share my throne, my kingdom, and my crown. See, the Lord has a crown. Revelation 2 and verse 10, James 1 and verse 12. Twice it talks about the crown of life to those that die. There's two ways to die and earn this crown. You can die physically as a martyr, and many have, millions and millions of people will receive the crown of life and have that put on their heads because they, as men and women, boys and girls, have suffered and died and been murdered for Christ's sake physically. But you know what also says in James 1 and verse 12, there's another way to die. Maybe not as a martyr, but that is to die to self. We can be living martyrs. Romans 12, 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And the crown of life is not only to those who are physical martyrs, but those who become living martyrs and say, that's it, I'm dying to self, and I'm going to live for the Lord. I'm not going to live for myself anymore. So I want to encourage you to be involved in the Great Commission today, be involved in missions. That's the theme of our song today. And to look at it as a positive thing, not some negative thing, woe is me, I got to go out soul winning now, I got to go out on men's visitation, I got to go out on the bus route, I got to go knock on doors now, woe is me. No, but a positive thing. Wow, I get to go, and the Lord's already prayed for me that people would believe on him through my word. He's already prayed, John 17, 20. And now let me go and see his prayers answered through me, that souls will be saved. And it's a joy to be sent by the Lord and to work with the Lord in his harvest field. All right. So send I you. Actually, two songs. And maybe we'll get these made up and glue them in the back of our songbook somewhere or something, if there's room. Yeah, there's a couple pages there. One. And then maybe when missions conference comes or whatever, we'll sing the positive one, along with the one that talks about counting the cost. So I hope as we dig into these hymns, they'll mean more to you than ever before as you sing them in the future. And we have a few more to go yet before our course is finished. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Sunday school. We thank you for Margaret Clarkson. We thank you for the 7-year experience you gave her of loneliness and despair and how she became a light there in that northern Canadian little town. And how she felt the fellowship of the missionary sufferings and wrote it down. But also, Lord, thank you for the Song of the Victories. Thank you for the Bobby Bonners and the Jim Elliots and those who people think have given up so much, but they gained so much more. And Lord, help us to give up for the sake of souls, to give up time, to give up money, and not to think of a sacrifice at all, but a privilege. Be involved in the Lord's work. Now we pray thy Holy Spirit would help us to get the message in the next service. Oh, Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd be the illuminator. We pray you'd anoint the children's churches. Thank you for them. The bus coming in. We pray thy Spirit would work in these boys and girls and bring to salvation anyone who may be lost today. Lord, we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.